And for that amazing love, we are grateful. And all God's people said, amen. Friends, we continue this morning in our Lenten series of letting go. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about letting go of our pride, letting go of envy, letting go of anger. Last week, we talked about letting go of control and worry and anxiety. This morning, I invite us to think about letting go of greed. Letting go of greed. And I invite you to turn with me in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, the 19th chapter. I'll begin at verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Will you hear now God's word? Someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into this life, keep the commandments." So the man asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all of these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then," says Jesus, "come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This, friends, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts and our minds, be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Kevin and I had the opportunity back before we had children to go to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. We went there with Aldersgate United Methodist Church, and also the Gardner Webb baseball team traveled with us. Their coach was helping. It was a member at Aldersgate, and he was helping to lead up the trip. So part of the trip was to go and teach this baseball clinic in the Batays, or the communities there in the Dominican Republic. Another part of it was to offer vacation Bible school classes to the children in the community. And a third part was to offer a medical clinic to the residents of the community. One of the things we did in preparation were two different collections. One was a collection of baseballs, a collection of the baseballs that could be shipped down there so that the children could have access to the baseball when we had the clinic. And another was a shipment of shoes. Shoes, because the children who lived in these Batays and the adults who lived in these Batays didn't have shoes to wear. They literally were walking around on the dirt ground, and most of their homes were dirt floors. And you and I can imagine the disease that's carried through the nasty dirtiness of the ground, where the water that's used to bathe in and the water that's used to clean ourselves after we've used the restroom and the water that's used to for our animals to drink from and for us to partake from, that's the same water that's filled with all sorts of bacteria that these, our beloved brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic, walk through day in and day out. So there we went, and we spent a week with these folks in the Dominican Republic, and my heart was forever changed from that time there, both encountering the beautiful spirit that they have, but also with this confrontation of what true poverty looks like, what it looks like to be in the midst of a group of people, an area in our world that poverty is literally rampant. And so there in the midst of these heartbreaking conditions, my heart was strangely warmed. And I can remember on the first time that I walked into the Walmart in Shelby, North Carolina, on return from the Dominican Republic, I wept. I walked into Walmart and I wept. I wept as I looked around as the shelves that were filled to overflowing with items. And as friends and neighbors were coming out, bags and carts overflowing with possessions. And I wept. I had to leave. I couldn't stay any longer in that Walmart. Friends, it reminds me of this rich young ruler that Jesus encounters. Jesus encounters this rich young ruler on his journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. And this man comes up to him and this man says to him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do so that I can enter the kingdom of God?" Jesus says to him, "Oh, well, you know those 10 commandments that you received from God? They're a good framework for life. And so, young man, these are the things that you must do." And Jesus highlights 6 of those. "You shall not steal, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery," and so on. And the man very confidently looks back at Jesus and he says, "I've got it. I've done all of these. What else must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Sir, you are wealthy beyond your imagination. Go and sell your possessions. Give the money to the poor. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And the rich young ruler turns around and weeps. He weeps because he knows how much he owns. He knows how much he's accumulated. And he weeps. He weeps when he thinks of that excess, because what Jesus is pointing out to him is that excess is what's separating him from fully living into the relationship God has offered, to fully living into the kingdom of God in his midst. Jesus says, "Once you've done that, sir, then come and follow me. Sell all you have and give to the poor." Here we find Jesus specifically addressing wealth and money and riches. And we think of the word greed, which means an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth. Not limited though to wealth, because greed also can be greed of power or greed of food. So even though Jesus is specifically addressing money and riches and wealth, the definition of greed encompasses so much more. And what Jesus is inviting this man to do is to let go. To let go of the excess that's accumulated around him. Friends, we too have an obsession. An obsession with excess. I confess to you my excess. 30 pairs of shoes in my closet. 43 before I decided to get rid of some of them. We have an obsession with excess, an obsession with abundance, an obsession with stuff. We covet things. We desire to have more and more and more of things that somebody else has that we don't have. Avarice, another word for greed, says it's the hoarding nature of things that we think we need. So avarice, it is abundant in our lives because we hoard. We hold on to all of these things. We're accustomed to sticking things away into the bottom of our closets and into the back of our cars and into the depths of our desk drawers. We hoard. We have a preoccupation with stuff. I can remember as a little girl, probably in about the first grade, the newest fad was this friendship bracelet. And it was this little link, a linked bracelet that kind of linked together, and you got charms to go on the outside of the little friendship bracelet. It's the first time that I really learned what obsession was like. You see, around that bracelet, there were how many ever links there were, and on each of those links, you could put one and sometimes up to two little charms. I became obsessed with filling up my bracelet. And my friends and I would trade those little charms, because if you got one that I really, really wanted and my mama hadn't taken me to that store, maybe I would give you two in exchange for that one that I really, really wanted. An obsession with stuff. The desire for more and more. The reality is that anything that we have in excess can be damaging to us. Anything that we exceed beyond the normal limits of what we really need, anything can be damaging. There are two other deadly sins. If you look at the seven deadly sins, there are really three of them that I think can be classified under the overarching theme of greed. So greed, the preoccupation with wealth and power and money. And two others, lust and gluttony. Also, at the heart of lust and at the heart of gluttony is the desire for this excess, more and more and more. Lust, our society's addiction to sex, our obsession with physical appearance, fitness equipment, exercise videos, creams, lotions that deal with all the cellulite, and pills that promise to help us lose weight so that we can have the perfect body. Lust, excess, obsession, gluttony, our self-indulgence. Gluttonous doesn't just have to be about food. It can be about anything that we overindulge in. The purchasing of shoes or the clothes that fill my closet. Shopping, in fact, can be a form of gluttony. Exercise, technology, our addiction to Facebook and social media, busyness, and our schedules, the things that we add more and more and more on our plates so that we look like productive citizens of America. Our own busyness and schedules can be a form of gluttony. A 2014 article in the Washington Examiner claims this about an American obsession. Talk about excess. We spend $83 billion a year on beer. And that's on beer alone. $69 billion on lottery tickets. And $11 billion on pornography. Excess. Gluttony. Lust. Reagan read to us from Paul's words this morning to the church at Philippi, where Paul warns the church that the end of their lives is their own self-destruction. Paul says that the god of their bellies has become the god of their lives. The gluttonous behavior that they're doing, the overindulgence, the excess, that has become their god. And Paul says that those at the church of Philippi would say to us here at the church of Myers Memorial today to not set our minds on earthly things, because our citizenship and our home is in heaven. Friends, Jesus offers us an invitation that he offered to the rich young ruler, to let it go. To let go of the excess, to let go of the abundance, to let go of the stuff, and to follow me, says Jesus. Come and follow me. In our letting go of the greedy nature of our lives, the things that consume us and the abundance that we accumulate, in letting go of this, we can be converted. We can be converted to God's will, to be more and more like Christ. We can allow our lives to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, to allow God to reorder our priorities. But first, First, we must learn to be content. To be content with who we are and what we have. And as we reorder our priorities, we will find that we must let go. We must let go of our greedy nature. I invite you to turn back with me, if you wish, to the Gospel of Matthew, the 19th chapter. For after Jesus has this conversation with the rich young ruler, he continues on talking to his disciples. His disciples who have seen this conversation with the rich young ruler, where the rich young ruler is invited to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor. And he walks away weeping. Jesus says this to his disciples, beginning at verse 23. Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Here Jesus is talking to the disciples about the richness, the excess, the abundance, the greedy nature of life. Those things make it difficult for us to enter into the kingdom of God. Just as a camel cannot walk through the eye of the needle, says Jesus, our riches separate us from the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, and then they looked at Jesus and they said, well, how then can we be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. In other words, for you mortals, it's impossible to save yourselves. It's impossible to save yourselves, but in turning over and letting go of all that clings to you, God can do the impossible in your life. For mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. Peter looks at Jesus and says, look, Jesus, we've left everything and we followed you. What then will we have? Peter's remembering back to the time where Jesus called out to the 12 disciples, many who were fishermen working on the banks of the Galilee, and Jesus called out to them and said, come and follow me. And Peter's reminding him that in coming and following Jesus, they left behind their family. They left behind their possessions, their boats and their nets. They left behind their access to money. And they followed Jesus. And so Jesus says to them, to these disciples, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold. And you will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus says to the disciples, those who have left everything behind will be rewarded. They'll be the first. They'll be received into God's kingdom. The disciples left everything behind in order to follow Jesus. So the real question for us is there anything more important to us than following Jesus? Is there anything more important to us than following Jesus? And if there is, if we dig deep down in our souls, and there's something more important to us than following Jesus, we are invited to let it go. To let it go. I encountered a woman a woman who says that every time someone compliments her about something that she's wearing, whether that be a pair of earrings or a sweater or a cardigan that she's wearing, if somebody says, "I love those earrings," she's taken on the practice of taking them off and giving them to the person who offered her the compliment. "I love that purse." She empties it and hands it over. "I love that cardigan." She takes it off and hands it over. For she says she's learned that the stuff of this life is far less important to her than the kingdom of God. I know a man who, by all monetary terms, could be considered a millionaire and perhaps even close to a billionaire. He doesn't have children, and so he has this excess. And so he's decided in his local congregation to ask the pastor every year for a list of college students. And he sends each semester every college student in that congregation $100. $100 in the fall and $100 in the spring. This excess, he's learned to let it go. And what a blessing I can imagine that $100 is to those college students in the midst of the stress and the strain of their life. Friends, in letting go, we find freedom. The woman feels freed from the stuff that clings to her as she lets it go and shares with someone around her. The man finds freedom as he lets go of some of his money and brings joy to someone else's life. It takes me back to the Dominican Republic. It takes me back to the Dominican Republic because the other thing that I found out about these beloved brothers and sisters in Christ who literally had nothing in terms of stuff or money or excess. They were abundantly happy. They were abundantly content. And they were blessed. And not only blessed, they knew they were blessed. They were rich with God. Remember, I said that one part of that mission trip was to offer medical care. To offer medical care to these residents of these Batays who'd waited many months and some years in order for their medical ailment to receive attention. I watched them show up early in the morning and sit outside in the open air seating area waiting for their name to be called for the clinic to respond to their needs. Some of them came on Monday and waited all Monday long and came back on Tuesday and waited all Tuesday and came back on Wednesday and finally their name was called. You know what we would have been doing? We would have been complaining. We would have been complaining because it had been long past the time we'd showed up to get our need taken care of. Not them. They sat there singing and praising God and blessing God because their abundance was not found in stuff or material items. Their abundance was found in God. You and I are invited to let go. To let go of our greed so that we can find that kind of abundance. That regardless of what happens in life, we feel freed to sing and praise our God together. May we who have richly been blessed, may we learn to let go so that we are freed to live into our blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.